Some people look at this whole Christianity thing and think, ah, it's just for losers. It's a crutch for people who can't make it on their own. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. And today I'm joined again on the program by special guest, tennis legend Margaret Court. And if there's one thing that Margaret isn't, it's a loser. So stick with me, and at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet called Your Best is Yet to Come. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you lay hold of the amazing future that God has planned for you, irrespective of where you might find yourself just at the moment. Margaret Court, thanks for joining us today.
It's wonderful to be here with you.
Now, it's interesting, you had the most amazing tennis career, and yet these days you do what?
Well, I preach the gospel and have a wonderful church in Perth, Western Australia, and a great team of people helping people to change their lives.
When you were doing all these amazing things on the tennis court, did you have a faith in Jesus at that point in time?
As a young girl, I was always told that my gift was from God. I used to say that to the press. They'd say, well, why are you so good? I said, it's a gift from God. I used to go to church every Sunday as a Catholic background. I knew about Jesus and knew of him, and he was a part of my life there, but I thought he was out in the sky somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I was number one in the world, and it was back in the early 70s. I'd won everything. I remember going to Mass one Sunday and sitting in France, it was, and they were speaking in Latin and French. And I sort of cried out to God on the inside and I said, God, where are you? I want to know you in a deeper way. There's more to it than this. And I remember going to America that year and staying with a family there. The lady of the house was going off to all these meetings and she would come back with all these books. And I'd say to my husband, because she'd give them to me, and I'd say to him, I think she's become a religious nut. And I'd put them in the rubbish bin, but I kept one about accepting Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Came back to Australia, to Perth, and a friend of mine who'd been going through some marriage problems came around. I said, what's happened to you? Something's happened to you. I said, you just look different. And she said, I went along to a meeting, gave my heart to Christ. And I said, that's interesting. I said, I just read a little book on that. I'd like to come with you. I went along to some of the meetings and watched and listened. I knew they had something I didn't have. And not long after that, I went along to one of those meetings and I knew when the pastor called for people for salvation. And I remember going up and saying the prayer that when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And I knew that day that I said that prayer and I did that, that Jesus Christ came to live in my heart. And I knew if I died to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. It was so real to me, and I've never lost that ever since.
Yeah, that's cool. Often people look at Christianity and they go, well, you know, it's for losers. It's for people whose life are a mess and they need some prop, and so they go and get religion. How does someone at the pinnacle of their career come to faith? How did you reconcile this kind of the lifestyle, the stardom, I guess, if I can call it that, and this personal faith thing?
Well, being at the top is a very lonely spot to be at. You know you've got a handful of friends. It's interesting you learn not to trust too many people because everybody wants to know you.
Mm.
And you know there's a lot of people that are not real genuine and they're just reaching out to you because of your fame. So you have few friends. I have a great husband. Back then you had money, you had fame. But I knew there was something missing in my life. There was something empty. I didn't have that inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was searching for something. I knew about Christ, but I didn't know the reality of him. You know, you'd look and there'd be Easter and there'd be Christmas and you think, well, where are you? Where are you really? How do I know you? I thought it was through works, going to church every Sunday, that'd be the way.
I thought that was it too. What do you mean? That's not how you get saved?
No, that's not how you're saved.
Oh, dear.
Because I learnt that he loves the drug addict and the alcoholic and the man in prison, the man in the gutter. And it's not through works. It's through the grace of God. Jesus Christ died for all mankind.
If you were talking right now to somebody who was thinking, I hear what she's saying, but I don't know, what would you say to them?
I'd say to them, just open your mouth and ask Jesus to come into your heart because you want to know him. That's the simplicity of it. When you believe in your heart and say, Jesus, I want to know you. Please come into my heart. I want the reality of you. I want to know you for the rest of my life. And I tell you, that's the simplicity. He'll come and live in your heart. He'll bring that peace into you. People are looking in every different direction for Jesus Christ, and all they've got to do is ask him. He loves all mankind. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. We'll never get good enough.
Mm.
All we have to do is invite him in, and then the change comes.
Yeah, I guess one of the fears for me always was being a perfectionist, that I wasn't good enough for God, and the notion of turning to him, thinking, oh, what's he going to say? You know, what's he going to do? No, I can't do it.
Whether you're a perfectionist, whether you're the most wealthiest person in the world, whether you're the man in prison, he looks at us all equally. He's no respecter of persons.
Mm.
And he died for all mankind, every whiplash on his back. Those 39 stripes represented every sickness. The thorns in the head represented us to that we can have a sound mind.
Mm.
His blood was shed for all mankind to have eternal life. And he died for us, and all we have to do is how often we said the Our Father, let it be here on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to know that peace. He wants us to walk in victory. He wants us to walk in health. That's why he died for us, so he can have that relationship with us.
That's awesome. Listen, I just feel right now, maybe someone's listening, maybe you're sitting there thinking, I actually would like this Jesus in my life. I just think, why don't we just pause a minute? If you want to do that right now, why don't you just pray with me just for a moment? Father, you know all our hearts. You know who we are. You know what we've done. And you know our hurts and our fears. And Lord, we just want to give that over to you right now. Father, just listening to Margaret talking now about accepting you, Father, we want to do that. Lord, we're sorry for everything we've done wrong. And right now, Lord God, we just turn away from that. And we want to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. Lord, we just ask that as people have prayed that right now, that you would honor that and that you would open a whole new life, an eternal life into the heart of the person who has prayed that prayer. Father, we ask that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Could I get people just to say a prayer after
sure.
me? If you follow me in this prayer, you say, Dear Jesus, forgive me for my sins of my past. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth this day that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, that all things are passed away and all things have become new. I thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart today, and I'll follow you all the days of my life. That's simplicity of knowing Jesus Christ and inviting him into your heart. And he's come to live in your heart today, and you'll never be the same again because the best is yet to come.
Margaret Court, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Listen up. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life right this moment, what you have going on, be it good, bad or ugly, God has a plan for your life, a plan for good, a plan for a future of meaning and purpose and impact, a plan that we couldn't possibly comprehend if we tried. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Your Best is Yet to Come. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the amazing future that God has planned for you. And at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.